Jim Sirian tells of a time when one of his congregation's organizations, which was known as the Women's League, wanted to announce a new project that they had undertaken for the church. On that particular Sunday morning, during the announcement time, the president of the Women's League, she came up to announce that the new project that the women were going to undertake, and she gave a brief description of what the project was, and then she called for all of the ladies of the Women's League to come forward. Now, most of them were 55-year-old or older women. She called them to march up to the front of the sanctuary so that the congregation could see them and know how committed and how earnest they were about doing this particular project. And Sirian, he was the pianist for the church. And he decided to give the ladies a marching tune to encourage them as they came down the aisle. He started playing the children's chorus, the Lord's Army, to help the women keep in step as they march forward. You know, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. Unfortunately, everyone else was hearing the words for the original tune. Does anybody know what the original tune was besides Don, who's standing right over here? Because he and I went over this. The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be. Now, he said, when the surprised Women's League president asked him why he was playing that tune, he said he got so frustrated, he couldn't even give her an answer, and he just walked out through the side door. See, music, it often carries messages to our lives. Music, it can carry a message of love. For example, how many of you, when you were younger, for most of us younger, some of you are still there, okay? When you were dating, you had one song that was your song. You know, as a couple is in love and they often speak of a particular song that is our song. Do any of you have your song? Now and Forever by Peaches and Herb? Okay, it's old. I know, I'm old, okay? Everyone's going, huh? See, those songs, our songs, they trigger memories of intimacy and affection that was shared from the very beginning. I know some of you are probably still conversing about them. Music, it can also speak to us of depression. Country music is known for that kind of a message. Many of the songs tell stories of lost love and ruined relationships. Do you know what happens if you play country music backwards? The guy gets his house back. He gets his wife back. He gets his truck back. His dog might even come back to life. Now, songs that were written back in the 60s, they had a very special message as well. Do any of you remember what the underlying theme of music back in the 60s was? War. It was about protest. They protested against authorities. They protested against people telling them what to do or where to go. It was all about protest. And then there is music that communicates rage, defiance. Music styles such as heavy metal or rap often sets forth that kind of a message. Even when you can't understand the words, just that driving beat gets people going at times. See, music, it communicates to us. In fact, music has the ability to communicate to us, and it is so powerful that even the military recognizes its importance. Believe it or not, the Pentagon School of Music, it takes 15 months of instruction to produce one band leader. Now, by contrast, the Air Force, it can train a jet pilot in just 13. Music has power. Power to communicate, power to inspire, power to change. According to Don Campbell, who is the founder of the Institute for Music, Health, and Education, music can communicate even when we're not influenced by the words of the song. He actually says that music impacts physiology on a deep, basic level. The human heartbeat is especially attuned to sound. Changes in tempo and volume, they act as natural pacemakers. Breathing slows down or speeds up along with the music. In addition, music has a direct effect on the function of the brain. It can slow down and equalize brain waves to create a meditative state. Or it can even energize the brain waves, quickening the thinking process and enhancing creativity. Even the cells of our bodies respond to music. A study that was done at MSU found that just 15 minutes of listening to music could increase levels of immune chemicals that are vital to help us protect against disease. By contrast, the release of cortisol, which is a stress hormone, it dropped by up to 25%. So what does all of that tell us? Well, it tells us that music is a very powerful force. It communicates messages to our lives. It communicates messages to our hearts, to our minds, and even to the very cells of our bodies. Today, as we continue our summer series of 316s, we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. See, God is telling us that we need to use the power of music. Colossians 3, starting at verse 15 and 16, it reads like this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." You see, God, He wants us to use music as a tool to strengthen ourselves and even to encourage others. But how can music help us as Christians? See, music, it can change our attitudes. In the Old Testament, we are told that in the latter years of his life, King Saul turned away from God, and so God left Saul, and an evil spirit moved in. The result was that King Saul was driven nearly to the point of madness. One of the counselors told him of a young man that he knew who might just help to relieve his burden. And you see, that is how David came to serve in King Saul's court. We're actually told in 1 Samuel chapter 16 at verse 23 that David would play his lyre and then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. Music, it can change our attitude. It has the power to make us melancholy or moody, but it also has the power to make us happy or hopeful. How many of you have ever been stuck in traffic on Friday trying to get home? Oh yeah, I spent over an hour getting home from Sherwood. You can sit in traffic and just be upset by it, or put on some worship music and just let it change you and spend the time in God's presence. I don't do it often, but I try every now and then. You see, by singing and praying and praising God, we can rise above the circumstances around us and allow God's Spirit to work in us. You see, and that brings us to the second point. Music not only changes us, but music can give us the power to control our circumstances. See, ordinarily we don't control our circumstances. They control us. You see, life can get us down. People can be cruel and mean at times. And we can end up being imprisoned by our circumstances. But you see, we don't have to be. In Acts chapter 16, we read that Paul and Silas were in the city of Philippi. And they had been preaching and healing and casting out demons. And something that they were doing upset the authorities. And so the town magistrate had them beaten with rods, thrown into the inner part of the prison, and placed in stocks, which would basically be chains. And it wasn't right. It wasn't fair. It was unjust cruelty, if you will. And yet we read in Acts chapter 16, at verse 25 and 26, that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken all at once. The prison doors all flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. You see, what had happened to Paul and Silas, it wasn't right, it wasn't fair. If that type of thing happened to any of us, I dare say that we could possibly be filled with despair, frustration, maybe even rage or anger that it was taking place. How dare they do this to me? I wasn't doing anything wrong. Conditions like these could overwhelm us. But Paul and Silas, they weren't overwhelmed. They were not beaten down. They were not defeated. What had happened to them, it wasn't right. And yet they refused to be controlled by those circumstances. They faced the unfairness of what had happened to them, and they focused on God. They used singing and prayer as tools to escape the control of their captors. See, they may have been physically inside of a prison, but they chose to be mentally in the presence of their Savior. Those who had mistreated them could chain their bodies, but not their souls. Their singing and their prayers gave them the power to rise above their circumstances. When you and I sing to God, when we surround ourselves with music that glorifies God, we are actually putting ourselves into the very presence of God. And God can literally lift us up and change both us and our circumstances. But you see, there's something even more powerful than this that can take place when we sing. Singing, it gives us a tool to teach and to witness with. Again, Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, one of the most overlooked aspects of Paul and Silas's experience in prison was that while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, I don't think that Paul and Silas intended for them all to be listening as they were singing, but don't you think it'd be rather hard not to hear them in a prison? Don't you think the other prisoners, here these two, had been beaten mercilessly. They've been placed in the deepest, darkest, most forbidding corner of the prison. They've been placed in these chains, which are generally not designed for comfort. And as far as the other prisoners there were concerned, these men would have been expected to cry out or to howl out in protest, to curse in rage, or maybe they would just curl up in a corner and suffer in silence. But you see, these men, they were crazy. They were singing praises to God. Now, you would have thought that it was a church service and not a dungeon cell. But you see, they weren't crazy. These men, they were so in love with Jesus that even in prison, they sang his praises. And because they did it so naturally, they literally witnessed by their singing. Their voices reached to the other cells of the other prisoners and the ears of the jailer who had locked them into their cells. And the witness, it was so strong that when the ground shook beneath the floors and the prison that night and the doors all opened, the jailer actually came to them and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And then the jailer took these two missionaries, Paul and Silas, to his home where they taught the jailer and his family what they should do to believe in Jesus Christ. And on that very night, Paul and Silas baptized the jailer and his entire family into Christ and Christ's family. Singing is a powerful tool for witnessing. There's a story of a young boy. He was in India, and he had just been to a missionary school near his home, And among other things, he received food and clothing. And he spent time in their children's classes. And one day as the boy was walking down the street, he was loudly singing one of the songs that he had heard in the mission. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It gets rougher. Other children heard him singing, and they asked him to sing the whole song for them. And when he did so, they asked him, who was this Jesus, and what was this book, the Bible? Well, the boy told him he didn't really know. But he took this whole group of kids back to the mission where they all got to hear the story for themselves. And many of them became Christians because one little boy witnessed to them in a song that he didn't really even understand the words of. Music. It is a powerful tool. It can change us. It can change our circumstances. And it can even change the lives of people around us. But you see, there are people who don't like to sing. They come to believe that their singing is an embarrassment. When I first started attending church in junior high and stuff, I could not sing worth a lick. I am tone deaf and I cannot sing. And I've heard about it over and over and over again when I was younger. And you see, there are a lot of people who identify with this 3-year-old boy who sang the song, I love you, Lord, and I lift my noise. Some of you will catch on to the song. I would have sung it for you, but I just can't go there right now. One expert noted that approximately 40% of Christians have come to believe that singing should be left to those who can sing. They don't like to sing out loud, and they'd prefer to leave the singing to those who can carry a tune. Leave it to the worship team, and we'll just all enjoy the experience. Now, in his book called Psalm of the Heart, George Sweeting, he illustrated a great truth from the experience of two Moody Bible Institute graduates, John and Elaine Beekman. God had called them to be missionary work, to do missionary work among the Chol Indians of southern Mexico. Sweeting reported that they rode on mules. They traveled by dugout canoes to reach this tribe. They labored for 25 years with other missionaries to translate the New Testament into the language of the Chol Indians. Today, the Chol Church is thriving. More than 12,000 Christians make up the Chol Christian community. And it is financially self-supporting. What's interesting is that when the missionaries first came to the Chol Indians, they didn't know how to sing. With the coming of the gospel, however, the believers in the tribe, they became known as the singers. They love to sing now, Sweeting commented, because they have something to sing about. See, the question that we should ask ourselves is not whether we can sing, but whether we have a song to sing. Because if we truly love Jesus, our voices, no matter what we may think of them, no matter how bad we think they are the sweetest musical instruments known to the courts of heaven. For his 27th anniversary program, Johnny Carson, he included a closing segment from one of his previous shows that he said had caught him off guard, but which had actually moved him. You see, the previous year, Oral Hershiser had led his team, which was the Los Angeles Dodgers, to victory in the World Series. And Carson asked Oral Hershiser what he did to calm his nerves between innings. Now, Hershiser, he responded that he sang songs. Carson then asked the pitcher to give him a sample. The song that this acclaimed World Series pitcher chose to sing, that it had such an impact on a basically irreligious man like Johnny Carson, had moved him so much that he selected that clip to close his anniversary special was a simple doxology, a song giving praise to God. You know, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. See, the question this morning is not whether you can sing, but whether you have a song to sing. See, if you don't belong to Jesus, if you've never accepted him, then you may not have a song to sing. But if you have, if you are serving him, if you're following him, then there is always a reason and a song to sing. Worship team, go ahead.